Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Wednesday Night Cheer. This evening, we are going to try to do something a little bit bold, try to learn about the basics of Erevin, Bezras Hashem, the Parshas Naso, most famously known for the mitzvah of Sota or Nazir. But there are wagons that are awarded to the Levim to help carry the Kalim of the Mishkan. However, the Torah says, Bamidbar Zayin Tesu B'nei Kahas, Lo Nason. No wagons were given to the family of Kahas. Ki Avodas HaKodesh Aleihem. They were the ones carrying the holy stuff. B'kateif Yisau. And they needed to carry those holy Kalim, like the Aron, etc., with their own shoulders. So you know what the Gemara actually says from here? Evidently, carrying with your shoulder is a form of carrying. Now with us, we have Matas as a bodybuilder. Mothers, is it normal that you carry things with a shoulder? Is that a normal way of carrying?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Right? That's why, Matis is from a very secular perspective. But on a halachic level, the Gemara respectfully disagrees with Matis and says that from the fact that the Torah says they lifted it with their shoulders, so that would mean that if you were hypothetically to lift something with your shoulder in an area without an Erev, so that is a bona fide violation of Shabbos. Because after all, the Bnei Kahas, they carried it with their shoulders. So that would not only be an issue to Rabbanan, that would be an issue to Araisa. In contrast, let's say someone carried in a weird way. You would have to carry something kal achar yad, or with your elbow, or your feet, or your mouth, whatever. So, now Matis, let's try to redeem Matis' reputation over here. Matis, would you say it's a normal thing to carry something with your mouth?
No.
Correct. Very good. So that would not be... I always pick up, this is the best. I only pick up people who I know can handle it. When you carry something in an abnormal fashion, it's a lot less of a problem. So one time this actually happened. Rahman al-Islam, Shani Manlislam, our oldest, needed to go to the hospital once when we lived in the Heights years and years ago. She had a bad fall on Shabbos in Columbia. Baruch Hashem is right there. But there's no Erev in that area. Yikes. So I needed YU security. Baruch Hashem was like very excited to like call Hasala. And very excited to get us back. And we were actually at our Shabbos meal relatively on time. It wasn't that much time spent in the hospital that Shabbos morning. But one of the situations that I found myself in was that I wanted to go from the hospital door into this Y security vehicle. And I needed to carry Shani there. And that would be usher. And I was also wearing a hospital band. So technically... Oh, very good. Shani could not walk yet. So I asked the security guard of Columbia Hospital, can you please carry my child into the taxi? He said, no. So I was caught in a little bit of predicament over there. But that would be a good example where you would want to carry Shani with your elbow, but not on your shoulders, all right? Because shoulders, what? Yeah, in that case, it was one of these, when you needed it, yeah, whatever. We'll learn that it was only the Rabbanan. All right, but that's a little bit of an Erevin shout-out in the Parsha. It's a little bit rare that when do we find ourselves asking ourselves, do I carry in a normal way, an abnormal way? That's the one example that came up in my life where I was like, maybe I need to carry something in an abnormal fashion because I'm without an Erev. Almost always we find ourselves in a situation with an Erev. And I grew up knowing that there's a thing called an Erev. I never really thought all that much about it. And I'll fast forward to a story whereby I was a single guy, if I'm not mistaken, in the Heights, YU. And I'm walking with the great legendary Rabbi Baruch Simon. Rosh Yiv of YU, who wrote a sefer on Hilchos Erevin. No big deal. And I'm schmoozing Rabbi Simon on Shabbos, and I see that he's not carrying anything. So maybe I asked, B'derech Chutzpah, you gotta hack these Rosh Yishiv up every time you see them. Say, Rebbe holds up the Erev, and he says, no. He says, the streets here are too wide for an Erev. So this is new information all of a sudden. Now the same Rabbi Baruch Simon would pitch a little wiffle ball to his son in Tenzer Garden because it was fenced in. The same Rabbi Baruch Simon on Shabbos. So this is all of a sudden news to me that apparently an Erev is not always kosher. Like, whoa, like, the Erev is controversial. Like, I grew up with an Erev. That means it's okay, right? Meaning if I grew up with it, that means it's fine. So Rabbi Simon had introduced this new concept that when you go to summer camp, that's not a big deal because there are no real wide streets. Go to Morasha, the Shabbos, Bezer Hashem, the seniors of TBC will be in Kem Kaley. Rabbi Jachter of TBC is the Rav Machshir of that Erev. That's not a big deal. But a big city street like Amsterdam Avenue and Washington Heights, not good. You know who says the Erev is good in washing the nights? Rav Hirsch or Shechter. And in Smicha, we go on an Erev tour. And with Rav Shechter, and he shows us the Erev. So Rav Simon has a personal chumr, at least he did at the time. And again, this man knows essentially everything about Erev. He wrote a very beautiful sefer on the topic in Hebrew. And let's just learn a little bit of basics about that scenario, because there is a Gemara that says Tana. We learned that a Braisa, Tzuras HaPesach. It doesn't go to Tzuras HaPesach. What we'd call, a chet, and a kind of like an upside down field goal thing. You know, where you have two bars with a chet on top. Okay, so that's the Tzuras HaPesach. You have a kana mikan, one post on each side, and a kana al gaben. You have the roof little thing. It's a chet essentially. So this Tzuras HaPesach serves as some good thing in halacha. You make this chet and you're good. So another horror story. I find myself with my wife running what's called TJJ, the Jerusalem Journey, for NCSY, our first married summer. Now we find ourselves in a very secular kind of like kibbutz place, the first Shabbos of the summer. And I'm notified the last minute the rabbi of the yeshuv had a sick kid and cannot be in Shabbos. So basically, you, Rabbi Mandelstam, you're going to be the mashkiach and the rabbi machshir of the whole kibbutz, the Shabbos. No problem. Is there an Erev? What's an Erev? This secular, wonderfully, respectful young woman. Maza Erev. Houston, we got a problem. So now, Baruch Hashem, in Israel, almost all of these places we find ourselves in Shabbos have a gate around. The catch of this gate was that it had a door that opened and closed, like an automatic sensor. If a bus would come, it would open, whatever. And I was like, oh no, if that's closed, it's fine. But if it's open, yikes. So Baruch Hashem, every TJJ bus is staffed with like these Israelis who could do anything. Just ask them to like build an Erev and they could just, do it. So like literally right before Shabbos, that's what this Israeli wonderful man did. He put a chet on top of the little doorway of the gate. So we were afraid a tour bus would come on Shabbos and it would knock it down though. So on Shabbos morning, I went and Baruch Hashem, our field goal was still good. The chet was still there. But we made a Tzuras HaPesach right before Shabbos, and that allowed us to carry on Shabbos. And all the time, when you have a community Erev, you have this thing called a Tzuras HaPesach, okay? So you have a Chet and you're good. The only thing is, the Prima Gadlim says, whoa, 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 whoa. A Chet, it's not really a wall, is it? Right? Imagine a flimsy thing over here, and another one over here, and a crossbar on top, like a hockey net, so to speak. So, the Big Magadim says, is that really a wall on a Torah level? Meaning, have you literally fenced in your area? Not so clear, not so clear. And therefore, the Big Magadim says, maybe a Tzuras HaPesach, this little field goal thing, would only work when you're dealing with an area that's like a Carmelis and not a Rishus HaRabim on a D'oraisa level. Yee. Which would mean you want to call yourself boxed in. In Camp Kaylee and Camp Morasha with the Tzuras HaPesach, not a big deal. But if you want to pretend that there's a wall in Washington Heights because you put up one crossbar and another crossbar with a, one post and a crossbar, who are you kidding, man? That's not a wall. A wall is a wall, and that's not a wall. Yikes, yeah. Of course, yeah, of course. Right, right. So in that case, there was a big, big doorway. Right. So the question is, how big was that particular doorway? So if you have one of these big doors that lets in buses, the question is, how long? You are right, Jerome. It could be in that scenario, you might not have even needed a Tzuras HaPesach. You are right. You'd have to measure it.
Doesn't a halachic person look at a Tzuras HaPesach and see a wall?
All right. So very good. So let's just explain the whole concept of an Erev or a Tzuras HaPesach is like this. It's as if we're inside right now. It's as if there are walls all around us. So if there are walls all around us, you don't need to pretend. So the question is, when does the halacha pretend that there's enough there to be a wall? So we're going to see a wall or see enough to qualify as a wall. So the Prima Gadim is not so sure if this, quote-unquote, Tzuras HaPesach is a wall or is it not a wall. And the Gemara has an example in Erevin of Yerushalayim HaKodesh, Rabba Baruch Hana, Zinim Rav Yochanan. Yerushalayim has doors, and they were locked at night. Okay. But guess what? If those doors were not closed at night, you know what? Yerushalayim would have the status of Rishus HaRabim. even though there were walls around Yerushalayim, what would be the issue? What would be the issue?
It's more than just that. It's more than...
What's the problem with Yerushalayim?
Because they have 600,000 people.
There you go.
And their streets go from one end to the other.
Very good. So this is Dr. Adam Karp. Dr. Karp always is the guy who knows the next stage of the shir. So Yerushalayim has a lot of people in it. Yerushalayim has a lot of people in it. So, Yerushalayim has walls around it. Yeah, But you know what? There are also a lot of people. And there's a big problem that we're about to learn about people can take down a wall, halachically. We'll learn about that in a second. So the only issue is that we're going to learn about the populated cities. But Baruch Hashem, it could be that this doesn't exist. So there's a Rashi in Erevin. We'll go back to Derech Moshe after. There's a Rashi in a Tosfos Zechus Erevin. We'll skip them just for the sake of time, which discuss the fact that any time you have 600,000 people in a city, you're done. You're done. By definition, what are we trying to create? A Rishus HaYachid. This house is a Rishus HaYachid. Can you argue that Manhattan is a Rishus HaYachid? Right? Why not? Why not, Shlomo?
It's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
What if you were to put walls all around Manhattan?
That wouldn't help.
What are the walls around it? So it's like one happy family.
Yeah.
Still
except for houses and buildings.
Every house is its own. Yeah. I want to know, what if you want to carry in the street? You want to go into Middletown Street?
Yeah, then, every neighborhood.
Oh, that's all, by the way, you're posting me to say that. But what if you, can you carry outside without an air in Manhattan?
No.
But what if there are walls all around it? What if there are walls all around Manhattan?
But there's different neighborhoods within Manhattan.
All right, that's a major factor. Yeah. So this is the major shaila, whether the Shulchan Aruch is going to say, in Shin Mem Hei Zayin, what's a Rishus HaRabim? You have these Rechovot, these streets, these marketplaces that are Tet Zayin Amma wide. How much Tet Zayin Amma? What's Amma? 3 feet, what?
24 feet.
So 24 feet is Tet Zayin Amma? Does that make sense?
16, up to 32 feet.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
1.5 to 2 feet per Amma. You're doing the lower end.
All right, so it's somewhere between 16 and 32 feet?
Yeah. 16 and
So how wide do you think is Bellard Avenue over here? How wide is that?
Well, the question is where you're measuring.
Okay, so just forget the sidewalks.
Oh, so
no, I think you can count the sidewalks.
So forget the sidewalks.
20 feet.
Right. So, very good. There's Gemara in the Midbar, also in the Sefer Ben Midbar. When they traveled in the Midbar, there were wagons related to the Parsha, and we use the traveling of Klal Yisrael in the desert as the paradigm for Hilchos Erevin. How wide were the wagons? How wide was the traveling of the 600,000 men in Bnei Yisrael? That's where this comes from. It's not an arbitrary number. There were 600,000 men traveling in the desert after we left Mitzrayim. So the way we travel, that formation in the desert, serves as the blueprint for Hilchos Erevin. So it could be that any time you have a street that's 16 amos wide without a roof, without a wall, you're done. That's called the Rishus HaRabim by definition. Who paskin like that opinion, Shulchan Aruch? My Rebbe Baruch Simon, right? You go back to that story. What did Rabbi Simon say to me? Why did he not hold of the Erev in Washington Heights? Because the streets were too wide. Namely, Amsterdam Avenue is very wide. And, you know, two lanes, Broadway. You know, these are big, big streets. You know, traffic going in both directions, a fancy double yellow line in the middle, right? You know? So these are real streets, and they're very wide. However,
we have a big leniency.
Big leniency. Yesh Omrim, opinion number two. Shekol she'en shishim riba ovrim bo b'chol yom einu rishus harabim. Phew. It's not about the width of the street. It's about how many people traverse the street each day. So even if Amsterdam Avenue is 16 amos wide, Amsterdam Avenue might not have 600,000 people traveling up and down that street each day.
Not that part of Amsterdam
Avenue. Ah, very good. So AB's pointing out, if you go downtown,
66th Street where Broadway is, there it has.
All right, very good. So there's a big question how to count 600,000, whatever. But there's every car. One, and believe it or not, Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva trying to figure out how to count 600,000. It's a wild tshuva. It's very controversial. But ultimately, this all of a sudden opens up a major avenue of leniency. So how can you argue that there's an Erev around Fairlawn, New Jersey? Because even though the streets are wide, what do we certainly not have? We don't have 600,000 people traveling the streets of Fairlawn. Even on Moreland Avenue or Fairlawn Avenue, we had a parade and our Memorial Day. Well, how many people were there? Exactly, right? Let's just say it was only 500,000 people,
the party pooper, what about Route 208 and Route 4?
Yeah, I was going to say
that. So including a highway in an Erev is a mess of a mess, is a huge mess.
The question is, do you count each individual car?
Right. So the highway issue is its own issue, because it could be, by definition, a highway is not ever allowed to be in an Erev, because a highway is a Rosh Hashanah by definition. It's a highway. So you could argue it's only a Chumra. It's the opinion of the Ramban, but the Magen Avraham quotes it. And in Tinek, Route 4 is not included in the Tinek Erev. However, there is a Chiddush Rabbi Jacht himself thought of, because of the Henry Hudson Parkway. You might take a highway from one part of Riverdale to another part of Riverdale. You may take one part of Route 4 in Tinek to another part of Tinek. So therefore, what we call a quote-unquote highway is not really a halachic highway. You have to realize the towns back in the day had one road. There was one main highway going out of it. So there's a heter, Rav Shechter was into that, that school of thought, that Rabbi Jachta thought that if you use a highway, but you stop off, and it's essentially a street. It's not really a quote-unquote highway. Halachic man doesn't see it as a highway. All right, but it's a very, very good question. But yeah, you're right. We try to not include highways in our Erevin.
The train.
Don't worry, there are no trains, obviously, in Fairlawn. What is a highway? we're not going to go to every Erevin Shaila in the books, but let's just say I push the stroller on Shabbos, and I'll be in good company with Rav Shechter in the next world, worst case scenario. Okay, I'm saying, like, it's okay. No, let's not talk about it right now. But it's a whole other year, that train, a whole other year. Highway and the train, a whole other year. All right, so once we come onto this concept, 600,000 people, so you know what? Then you rely on the Maharami Rudenberg. I quoted it before, I alluded to that. It could be there's no such thing as a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim anymore, ever. Because where are you ever going to find a street where 600,000 people travel on it a day? And once it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim anymore, what can you rely on? That dinky little what? Tzuras HaPesach. Ding, 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 ding. So, listen, a house is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, according to all opinions. But how can the halacha view all of Fairlawn, New Jersey, as a house? So once you have less than 600,000 people, and you have what's called the Tzuras HaPesach, so you can have a concept that we don't need doors anymore, like Yerushalayim needed doors, a formal door. No, you don't need a door. It's not real Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Maharami Rudenberg said that since there's no real Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you can rely seemingly on what we call a Tzuras HaPesach. Okay, the only thing is, it's a very shaky heter. Why was Rav Simon Machmir? Because he knows that this is not exactly the most kosher of heterim. The Mishnah Berurah comments on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, yeah, there's an opinion that says that you need 600,000 because that's the way we traveled in the Midbar. How do we travel in the desert? 600,000 men. Weren't there women and children? There were really more than 600,000. That's a question of Tosafos. We don't count anyone except for the people specifically enumerated in the Torah. And then he says, well, what about halacha? The Shulchan Aruch didn't say this as the first opinion. What did the Shulchan Aruch say? What's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? 16 amos wide. How did he present this whole 600,000 people? As a Yesh Omer. What does that mean? Yesh Omer? It's a secondary opinion. What a secondary? Yeah, I mean, those who said, is that what it means? What does that basically mean?
That there's another argument, pretty much, no?
But which one's the real one?
First one, but there's a, yeah.
I mean, there's a counter argument, but in high school, you call the second opinion a scrub. I mean, you know, we say, the first opinion is the real deal. The second opinion, you know, it's first is the best, second is the worst in halacha. Meaning, it's the second opinion. The second opinion doesn't really count, it's the second opinion. So that means the Shulchan Aruch is really commenting and posketing that once your street is 16 amos wide, you're done. But we're not going to protest as the Mishnah Berurah all those people that rely on the second opinion, because after all, it is an opinion. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not an opinion. You know, it's on the bench. He's on the team. And he says, Kol Baal Nefesh Yachmir La'atzmo. Oh dear.
Sounds like
Rav Moshe. Oh dear. Which means if you're really frum, you're going to be strict. You're going to be strict.
What's we're saying, Rav Bark Simon's not frum? Not really.
No, he is from.
Not
why?
Okay.
Because he doesn't
finally,
count.
Rehearsal.
Right, it was, I'm not from. Why? Because, no, the same thing. Rav Shechter said, right, so that's good. Baal Nefesh is going to be Machmir. Is Baal Nefesh going to be Machmir? Now, again, did I quote the Gemara before about how Asur Rabim Vatl Mechista? Did I forget to put that in the Gemara Makomos? Because, again, anytime you have traffic, you're going to have this concept that the public people knock down the walls, right? That's the concept. The Asur Rabim, the Rabim come and knock down the walls. So it's the same concept here. Don't tell me there's a halachic wall around Film. The people walk in and out all the time. The car's driving in and out. There's no wall there. So anytime you have a public thoroughfare, and it's 16, almost wide, we need to really rely on some pretty lenient opinions there, because we have the concept that there's a lot of people walking around and the streets are wide. So we might invoke the principle, which I've not yet spoken about, with, again, Asur Rabim, Vatla Mechista. Essentially, that means the pedestrians come and knock down the walls. That means the halachic walls are ignored in light of the fact that there are many people who are walking around there. And also, the streets are pretty wide. So there is a very similar comment of the Mishnah Berurah, where he basically says that we can't protest on those who rely on the Tzuras at Pesach. It's always been an opinion. So we're not going to protest against those who are lenient. But again, he has that same lashon elsewhere. Baal nefesh yachmir la'atzmo. Do not rely on this. Don't rely on Tzuras at Pesach. Which means every Erev in the country, in a city with 16 amos wide, is not good. Which where Rav Simon tries to be machmir, he'll carry in Camp Morasha, but not in a city. Yikes. So, what do we do about this, right? Again, is it a shady heter? It's hard to say it's shady. Why? Is it quoted in the Shulchan Aruch?
Yes.
Do you have real people who rely on this? Yes. So Rav Simon quotes an amazing story. He says that when Rav Aaron Cutler came to America, Rav Aaron Cutler founded Lakewood Yeshiva. He wanted to essentially abolish citywide Erevin. So that stuff they did in Europe, they have, and there's a real shaila, by the way, where Rav Chaim Ozer Zatzal was asked to how to build an Erev in Paris. And he actually reached out to the Chazon Ish. It's an amazing piece of history where you have the Gedolim of Europe before World War II reaching out to the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael. Unbelievable. You have a letter from Rav Chaim Ozer of Europe out to the Chazon Ish. What do you think about making an Erev in Paris? Is Paris Erevable, right? You know, it's an amazing tshuva. That being said, it was done all the time. There was an Erev in all these major cities in Europe. So Rav Aaron Cutler said that was a very shaky heter. Let's not do that in America. That if there is a 16 amos wide street, let's not, please, rely on the Erev heter. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, legend, as you said in high school, said, come on. We've always relied on this. So what are you going to tell people, that they can't have an Erev? Come on. So ironically, Rav Moshe himself in Tshuvas does not necessarily support an Erev in the bigger towns like Manhattan or parts of Brooklyn, whatever he is, a Tshuva. He writes Ocean Parkway in Hebrew. I was like, trying to read it. I was like, what does that spell? You know, Ocean Parkway or whatever, right? Battery Park or whatever. I was trying to read it. Like, what is he spelling out of it? That being said, it's a very valid heter, whereby we encourage people to keep Shabbos. Imagine what Shabbos would look like if there was no heter relied upon here. And the Breuer's community, they don't hold up Erevin. Brooklyn, many wonderful Jews in Brooklyn, they don't rely on Erevin. But because we do rely on this heter, what do we basically have? Kids going to shul on Shabbos. Women pushing strollers on Shabbos. Do you know how drastically different Shabbos would look like if we did not rely on this heter? So if it was shady, okay, we wouldn't be able to rely on it. If it's out of bounds, if it's out of the boundaries, you can't rely on it. Once it's in bounds, I would say if we had to pick a heter, this is what we want to pick. Because Shabbos is not a day where people feel confined. It's a heter to rely upon. Again, is there what to say about minimizing this? Yes. If you closely look, sometimes before I leave my house or before I leave shul, I'll check my pockets. I'll throw my tissues in the garbage, whatever. Because the Mesorah I have is we try to minimize. Do we rely on this heter? Yes. Is there what to say about not relying on this Erev heter every possible moment? Yes. So if you don't need to have anything in your pocket, or if Shani Mandelstam is willing to push the stroller, my daughter, so okay, Shani, keep it up, whatever, you rely on the Yeshom and the Shulchan Aruch, no problem. So again, I would argue that it's very valid, but there's what to say about minimizing. So sometimes, if I want to bring a sefer to shul, but I know they already have a copy of that Sefer in the base measure, so that's what will come up. Like, come on. Like, why? Don't rely on the Erev when you don't need to. But no one should feel guilty, Chas v'Shalom. But at a minimum, I think this evening we explored some of the major key principles, at least as a Shir Hakdama, an introduction to Erevim, with some of the key concepts like 600,000 people makes a factor, the street size makes a factor, pedestrian walkway makes a factor, but all in all, camps are the best place to make an Erev because, you know, there is really, the streets are not wide, there are not a lot of pedestrians, and that's really where Erevim comes up into play. And one time, Rabbi Mordechai Willick said, does anyone want to help fix the Erev? And Camp Morasha, I learned on the Morasha Kolel 2 summers. So I thought, I know nothing about Erev, and great opportunity to learn with Rabbi Mordechai Willick. So literally, he was carrying a hammer and a nail, and we were on a ladder, and she was putting up a, you know, fish wire or whatever to help fix the Erev. And I'm holding a hammer, and I said, Rebbe, I could finally be Mekayim the lyrics of the A.B. Rodenberg song, throw away your hammer. You know, because A.B. Rodenberg says before Shabbos, throw away your hammer. And every time I listen to that song, I'm like, whoever is holding a hammer on Erev Shabbos? So I said to Rabbi Mordechai Willick, I said, Rebbe, I could finally fulfill the lyrics of A.B. Rodenberg. And Rabbi Mordechai Willick totally got what I was talking about, and he said, throw away your hammer. He totally got what I was talking about. So we rely on our gedolim, whether we use the hammer or we don't use the hammer, we should all be zocha to nail in as much of Avodas Hashem as possible. And with that, we will daven Marv.